Yeah, my experience. So I lived in South Africa for 10 years, right? Almost 10 years. And that already exposed me to racism,
Yeah.
right? And I was able to sense it and pick it up when it was happening. But when I came to Switzerland, for me, there was a comedian that actually describes this so nicely. It says racism, but it was used in the UK, for example. It says racism in the UK is bottom shelf. Why racism in South Africa is top shelf is right there in your face. Here, and it's similar to Switzerland. Here, it leaves you wondering, what was that? Did that just happen? What's going on? Wait, am I losing my mind? Did she really just do that? For me, it was during lockdown at the very height of COVID. I was working, already struggling with working from home. The fact that I had to swap my place of resting to a place of working was already too much for me. So I left. I was working and I went to Co-op. I left my phone at home. Like, I need to take a break to clear my mind. I went to get groceries. And I thought this was a good time to get groceries because we weren't supposed to go that frequently, like once a week or whatever. So I was coming back, and this lady and her husband were, it was a husband, I came to find out later. We were going to turn around the curve into the street that I was going to walk down to my place. And so it was one of those. Now everyone is conscious about COVID. We don't want to get too close. I mean, before you could just walk past, but now it's a thing we're dancing around like, oh, you go first, I go first, you go first. So she goes, and then I followed, but she was expecting her husband to come. I could see it on her face, but I popped out on the corner and she locked eyes with me. And I could remember in her face, she was so disgusted seeing me. And I was like, well, anyway. So I kept walking away. So I was walking in front of her. And next thing she just started shouting, but it was in German. She just started shouting and speaking so loudly on the street in the residential area. People were seeing this from their building. People were seeing as they were walking by. A lady was on the other side with a car, putting things in the trunk, and she was shouting at me. And in my mind, I'm thinking maybe she's complimenting me, thinking I'm so beautiful. You want to put a spin on things before you think the worst of it. And then, because she was speaking German, and ich weiß nicht, I do not speak that much German, really. I mean, I'm only learning now. And so as I was walking away, I heard her say Africa. I was like, oh shit. Well, oh, that's what we're doing today. Okay. So I turned around and looked at her, and she gave me the middle finger.
What?
Yeah, she did. She gave me the middle finger. I was like, oh wow, okay, we're there. And she just kept ranting down on me, and I was walking away. Because now I'm so nervous. I'm like, this cannot be happening to me. And I think it was also the thing of the shame that I was so embarrassed. Everyone is watching. And the thing about it was, no one said anything to her. No one cautioned her. No one did anything. I was walking away. I was trying to walk as fast as possible away from this woman. She was now behind me. So I'm walking away with my bags in my hand. I turn around because I heard something fall on the
Oh.
floor. She
What?
has spat at me. But because I gained a step ahead, it did not land on my back. And so I turned around like,
Are
what
you
the hell was
serious?
that? She spat at me during COVID. First, who spits at anyone? Then you do it during a pandemic when we're all trying to cover our face and wash our hands and everything, and you spit at me. And then it took me back to how she was so disgusted when she first saw me. And that just all tied in, like, why would you spit at me?
Oh, gosh.
And I walked away. I was nervous. I was shaking because it's like, whoa, I've not had this in a long time. This is so extreme. I mean, I can handle speaking and saying all kinds of things to a person, but to spit at them, that is the height of it for me. Like, to. So I got
How much
home.
hatred does she have
You know, and
in her
so I
chest?
get home, I drop my bags, and I sat down on the floor. And I was like, what the hell was that? And I didn't want to tell anyone because I'm just like, it's too much. I don't want to have to. I was not in the mood to talk about it. I didn't want to. But weeks later, my supervisor was like, so how are you doing? Because when I first moved to Basel, my supervisor told me, like, yo, if anything like this happens, let us know. You know, he's not oblivious to the fact that it is possible to happen. So just weeks down the line, he asked me and I tell him, and he was so shocked. And he was like, I'm sorry, and all of this and all of that.
You
I was
said you were
like,
sorry?
he said he was sorry. Like, he was like, I'm so sorry you had to go through that. But yeah, this type of thing happens and all of that. And I remember I even told another person, and that's the interesting thing. This person try to explain it away. And
what?
Said maybe the person had mental health problems.
Oh, come on.
And that's why I don't talk to white people about race. It's just people try to explain it away and find other reasons other than mm-hmm. what it truly is. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, you know, it's not worth it. Like, just leave it alone. You know, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Carmen?
To be honest, I just got stuck on that, on how you don't talk to white people about race or racism, because I don't know if you've read the book of Why I No Longer
Yes
talk to
by Renia Doloj. I love that book.
Yeah, and I think to me that was one of the aha moments of exactly those things. And I must say, I think also kind of bringing the conversation back to the Diversity and Inclusion Network, I think to me it's been a lot of personal growth to be part of these discussions and realizing how many things, because you're kind of, as I mentioned, I was very much on the feminist side, on talking about gender. I had never been exposed to feminism before, so that was also kind of a growth, and kind of when you put those pink glasses on and you're like, oh my God, what's happening with the world? And then I realized that within the last years, within the network, I've kind of kept putting glasses on or lenses on and looking at the world through different eyes. Mm. And it was through the D&I network that Nadia, a colleague, mentioned the book, and then I read it. And to me, it was, you know, well, to be honest, I was going to say for as a white person, but I find it funny because if I go to the US, I am Latina, which is, but kind of, I am a European Spanish person, right? With whitish skin. Mm-hmm. And of course, there are just many challenges I've never faced myself. And until the moment I started reading and informing myself, I just couldn't put, I mean, I probably still cannot put myself properly in the shoes of anyone else, mm-hmm. because I know my shoes. But I definitely became aware of all these other, yeah, systematic issues that we all face. And it's a bit what we were also discussing this other day, right? And there's also kind of, we come from academia, so mm-hmm. there's a paper about the coin of privilege, and it's a coin of privilege in public health, which is kind of also our background. Mm-hmm. And I really liked it because basically there are all these discriminations being described, and there are always kind of two sides of a coin. Mm-hmm. And you can be on the upper side, which is the privileged for some things, and the oppressed or underprivileged for others. And to me, it was interesting to look at that in that way and thinking on which things I am more privileged and which things less, and what it means to have this privilege in certain things, and how, yeah, also a little bit related to the previous conversation on how we all have an active role to play. And to be honest, I think, so myself, kind of given my origin, I've rather have privileges, because in the countries I've lived in Europe, which has been mostly like German speaking, being Spanish is seen as nice, you know, it's the place where everyone goes on holiday. Everyone, I spoke German, which is a huge advantage before coming to Basel, because I had learned it at school, and then you speak it with this accent, which is holiday accent, and that people are nicer just because of that. Yeah. But then I have friends who are Spanish living in the UK, mm-hmm. and they have faced racism, mm-hmm. because they are Spanish and there are too many Spanish there, and they are usually more underqualified people that come to work in restaurants, bars. And that is actually really interesting, that, you know, different, there are also different classes within Europe of where you come from. And mm-hmm. I think it's important also related, Tammy, to what you were saying on this racism, and maybe that I can link it to the next question on kind of what is racism and what isn't. And to me, racism is specifically kind of this kind of power imbalance. And when people, for whatever reason, think that they are above others, mm-hmm. just because of where they come from, how they look, what gender they are or they aren't, if they, what kind of abilities they have. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and I think also, well, anyway, I will ask you, in your opinion, I'll stop there. What do you think is racism? What isn't? And who gets to decide when an action is racist or it isn't?